Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you here. If you will, if you are new to the Hill this morning, if you look inside your Sunday bulletin, you'll find what we call a life point outline. I ask you just, if you will, to pull that out, and we'll get into God's Word. We're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. If you're getting ready to do that, let me just give a little of announcement here, a little housekeeping, if you will. We've got a place of service that is open. There are some of you here that I'm sure are wondering, where could I serve? How could I give back in what God has given to me? And one of the areas that you can serve is in the area of our production ministry here at the Hill. There is of like sound and video and lighting and photography. And so the door is open right now for you to step forward and make yourself available to that. If you have a desire, you want to serve the church, you want to serve our family, you want to spread the gospel, you can be like a missionary in sharing the gospel by working through the means of technology. And so, you know, as somebody involved in that, you are helping us get the gospel out. We are primarily about seeing people come. We are on the air, we're on television, for the purpose simply of ministering a lot of time, primarily to our people, when they're not able to be here. I'm not interested in a national audience. I'm not interested in being spread from coast to coast. I have a pastor's heart. My whole desire is to see people come to get localized in a church family. This is how you do church. And so we're not trying to do that, but we're trying to be the best we can be at getting that message out as people listen to it from Sunday to Sunday. So if you're interested in that, if you'll go by the sound booth here after the service this morning, they will fill you in on how you can look into that and make sure that's what you want to do. We look forward to that. All right, I want us to look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we're in our series of messages on the path to change. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We're going to talk about embracing change through trust. Embracing change in our lives through trust. We're talking about being on that path to change, all right? So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, not unfamiliar to us. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge who? Him. And he will make your paths straight. Let me read that from the Message translation. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Isn't that good? That's so well said. We are in, as we start this morning on this message, we were in week 5 of the government shutdown until the president, of course, this last couple of days, opened the government again or signed the document to do that. And we certainly need to keep praying for the men and women whose lives have been adversely affected, you know, by loss of income for a month or better and the disruption of their lives. But on top of that, life went on for everybody else, didn't it? And on top of that national pain, there were millions of families and individuals who were already struggling. And they were struggling with personal changes, changes going on in their own life. You have loved ones dying, and that's touched our family. We've got a funeral here this afternoon at 2 o'clock with Johnny Bonner. Loved ones dying. All of us, if we are above ground, are getting older. And you look in the mirror and change is happening. Time's marching across your face. Kids leaving home. That's a toughie. Sometimes. Those of you who've had it know what I'm talking about. Then there's moving, relocating, job loss, unexpected pregnancy. And so I want you to look at the truth in your outline this morning. Here's what I noticed. The speed, the scope, the type, and the size of change is all increasing. It's increasing. Forecasting is now a risky business. Because there's so much change happening, you can really get yourselves caught. The good news that I want to share with you and that I want us to think about this morning is the fact that the Word of God says that God is involved in the seasons of change that come in our life. The ones that we choose and the ones that we don't choose, the ones that are forced upon us. There are individuals today, right now, that are struggling with personal change. And here's what God says. God says, I want you to understand that my desire for you is that you not only learn to cope with change, but that you learn how to grow through the changes that are coming in your life. And that's what I really want to talk about. The thing I shared with you last week, if you remember, years ago from this pulpit and as a church, one of the things that I remember verbalizing and that we said as a people through just agreeing with that was that we said, Father, we are all in. As a church, we are yours. And what that means is wherever you say for us to go, whatever you say for us to do, the answer from us is what? Yes. Our answer is yes. It can't be anything else but that. And as a church, right here on the hill, we have been on the path to change for decades. And what I want you to understand, if you're new to the hill, being on the path to change is the key to our growth as a church body. We have grown over the last 40 plus years from 123 members to over 2,000 members. We have grown from giving money just so that others can go to the field. We still do that. But we also now are saying, it isn't just that we're thinking about somebody else going. We're saying, Father, what do you want us to do? And more of our people are answering the call to go and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I say amen to that, don't you? That's just such a blessing for us. Some of the changes that have happened here on the hill, we chose. Some of them we didn't. Some of the changes were forced on us. But either way, here's the bottom line, and this is what I want you to think about today. Progress on the path of change means that I choose faith over fear. That rather being so afraid and freezing in my tracks, I choose to trust my Father in the change that I am facing. And all of us are facing change. Let me share with you this morning, and this is the message. I just want to share with you some things that God has been putting into me over these last several years and that I know that he is putting into you as well. Number one in your life on outline is there are three constants about change. In other words, there's three things about change that never change, okay? Number one, change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. God says, as long as the earth remains, there is going to be springtime. And the often word is, there is going to be. There is going to be, as long as the earth stands, there is going to be springtime and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. Now in your outline, we've got down there an A. That's my mistake. I wanted that to be a truth. So let me give you a truth here in your outline. You can cross out that A and put down truth, and that is this. What God wants us to understand is there is no growth without change. There's no growth without change. And what you find in the Bible, beloved, is this. Our Father, the God who made us in our mother's womb, instituted change in life. And that means nothing stays the same. Nothing. And life, my life and your life and on this planet, life is lived in seasons. We go through seasons. And what that means is life is a series of beginning and ending. Initiation, graduation, right? Kindergarten, high school, all those things taking place. Life is lived in seasons. That is one of the things I have to remember and understand. Let me go back and read Genesis 8:22 again. As long as the earth remains, there will be springtime, harvest, cold, heat, winter, summer, day, night. And so here's what God wants me to understand and for you. This is what I want us to get this morning. If I want to grow, if I want to be a better man, if I want to be a better husband, if I want to be a better grandfather, as long as I am alive, if I want to grow and to develop as a human being, there has to be change in my life. There has to be change. And how we do in life, if we're going to be better, means change is going to have to come. For our church to grow, for those of you who may be new, for our church to grow, we had to change. Years ago, there are some of you here that remember, years ago, I used to be the one that did the majority of the teaching. I was the one on Wednesday nights, I did the teaching, and everybody sat out here in the audience and they listened while I instructed them in Scripture. But we changed that. We changed that, and we got me out of just doing everything on one night. And now there are 40 to 50 teachers teaching the Bible to over 800 people on a given Wednesday night. Would you say that's better? Amen. Right? Yeah. Because I was studying all day to teach about 50 or 60 people on Wednesday night. It's a whole lot better for 40 or 50 teachers to be teaching 800 people on Wednesday night. But I had to embrace that. And to your credit, this church had to embrace that. Because you know what we did? We went against tradition. We went against it. And it was scary. It was scary. Because this is the way we had always done things. It's what we knew. But the reality was, we were ending a season and starting another one. And God said, either you're going to recognize this is ending, or you're going to deny it and you're just going to stay there wearing Bermuda shorts and it's freezing. Did you catch me? Okay. The season changed. Does that make sense? All right. That's the reality. And today, you've got fellowships that are not growing, they're dying. Why? Because they're wearing Bermuda shorts and they ought to have on car coats. Something needed to change. But they're afraid of that. But you see, God is saying, I am with you in the change. All right? That's what we want to understand. So here's the truth in your outline. Every change requires loss. Every change requires loss. In other words, I have to let go of something in my life if I want to grab something else. I have to let go in order to grab something. I have to lose something if I want to gain something. That's the reality in life. And so here's a counter truth that's in your outline this morning. Every loss is a new beginning. I had to let go of something to grab something. But when I did, it's a new beginning. Something new has started. And life is a series of endings and beginnings. Initiation, graduation. Every new beginning is the ending of something else. And I'm just putting this in your mind. I want you to be thinking about it. You know, some of us are in the midst of changes in our jobs, if not in here, in the other services. Maybe a baby has been added to your house. Weddings bring about change. The march of time across your body. Maybe you're new in our city and change is your new normal. It's just, you know, everything is different. Or a loved one has died. The reality is every change requires a loss. And I think one of the best examples to get a hold of this is you've been to a circus before, or you've watched it on television, and you've seen the trapeze artist, right? You know, when they swing through the air and do all that and everything. And you see somebody, they grab a hold of the trapeze, and they jump off of that little platform, and they're swinging through the air. And at the right point, the person on the other end has let an empty trapeze go, and it's swinging toward them. And so the person that's holding on is going across. There's nothing underneath them. And at some point, they reach a place where something's got to happen. If they're going to go forward, they have to do the scariest thing in their life. They have to let go. And for a split second, they don't have anything. There's nothing. But they have to let go of what they have to grab what they don't have. Does that make sense? And so if you're going to change, at some point, you got to let go what you know. And for a split second, it'll scare the bejeebers out of you. But that's how you can grab hold. Now, you can hang on and grab this one. And then you're stuck. And you're going to fall because you can't hold it long. It's not going to work, right? And so somebody is going to fall. And the truth is, just write this in your outline somewhere, you can't grow and develop by holding on to the past. And I'm not talking about life principles. I'm talking about habits. And that's what we determine. And I want you to understand, there is nothing wrong with Wednesday night Bible study led by a pastor, and that's what the church does. Are you hearing me? There's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's working. But if it's not working, that is a habit. It's not a principle. What is the principle? The principle is the teaching of the Word of God. The habit of it only being in the worship center and there being one teacher, that can change. There's nothing sacred about that. And that's what we understood. The same thing is true about whether it's Sunday night worship. There's nothing wrong with Sunday night worship, but it's not specifically prescribed in Scripture. You have to meet Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's not there. There's nothing wrong with it, but don't make it a law. If you do, then you're going against what Scripture says, and you're not going to be able to change and to develop. The truth is, we always want to be teaching the Word, and that's what God wants you and I to understand. And maybe that's where you are. You're at a place where you want to go on, but you're scared to let go of what you've got a hold of. A loved one's died. You've been let go of or left a job. You don't have a new one yet. You've left a relationship and you're not in a new one yet. You're in the midst of life change. Here's the truth I want you to embrace. This is in your Life Point outline. If you feel like you're just hanging in midair, feeling the sting of loss, remember this. This is what I want you to remember. This is a test of God. And God is saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me to move out into something new? God wants us to stay alive. And the worst thing we can do is to stay where we are forever. Nobody does that. I'm not talking about principles. I'm talking about habits. If I want to change, if I want to stay alive, I've got to change some of the habits of my life. Why? Because God has instituted change. We go through seasons. There's a time when something worked, and then there's a time when it doesn't. So here's what you understand. Change is inevitable. There's no growth without change. Every change means loss, but every loss is a new beginning. All right? That's what I want you to understand. Just think about that. The second thing I want you to understand about change, not all change is good, but God can use all of it for good. Okay? There's a lot of times that life change is painful and it's grievous. And the grief from that loss is not easy for any of us. You remember the Bible said, blessed are they that what? Mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know what God said? Listen, God says there are some losses that we're going to go through. And God said the proper response to a loss is grieving. Grieving. Jesus grieved. He modeled it. Shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus what? He wept. Do you know what he did? He recognized the loss and he grieved it. Why? Because that's healthy. Here's the truth, or here's the insight in your outline. We deflect the damage of difficult change by grief. And the reason I say that is because there are people, particularly men, but not only men, women, men don't do grief well. You know, we just want to say, well, everything's fine, I'm good, you know, and go right back to work. And that's crazy. It's just crazy. To immediately go back to work after a painful life change and try to just put it out of your mind, listen, that is crazy. It is not biblical. You lose a spouse or a child. It is at least a year working through that grief. And here's the truth I want you to understand. Healthy grief comes in waves. It comes in waves, and you don't control it. Some days you're just fine. Other days you wake up crying, and you don't know why. It's because you're in grief, and you don't fight that if you're smart. You make an allowance for it. You make an allowance for it. And here's the truth in your outline. We don't get over grief. We get through it. You get through it. Don't walk up to somebody and say, well, have you gotten over the loss of your husband? What kind of a question is that? No. And stop asking. Don't ask me that anymore. You know, that's not a question you want to ask. If you've been married 40 plus years and you lose your spouse, you don't get over that. You just had your heart ripped in two. You get through it one day at a time, one week at a time, one month at a time, one year at a time. Getting laid off isn't good. Going bankrupt, getting cancer, a prolonged government shutdown. None of those things are good. But here's what the Bible says. God says, I can use even bad things in your life to bring good to you if you'll let me. Isn't that good news? God said, I can do that. And I'm the only one who can do that. And here's the truth in your outline. This is what I want you to say. Let me camp here a little bit. Life change comes from choices, circumstances, and consequences. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. With regard to choices, I think that the easiest change to handle is the ones that I choose and you and I choose together. In other words, usually we choose to retire. And there are changes come with that, but that was our choice. We choose usually to move, to quit work, maybe to go to school. We choose to get married. Each of those choices has a ton of life change, but we chose it. It's what we wanted. And so when those changes come on us, it's just easier to embrace because, well, it's what I wanted, you know. So this is my new normal. But a second cause of change in my life are consequences. We are human beings, and we all live in a broken world. We live on a broken planet. My body is flawed, and so is yours. My body is marred by sin. That means I'm going to have problems with this thing that I live in. And so are you. Nothing works perfectly on this planet. And sometimes we think, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand why my body doesn't work right. It doesn't work right because it's broken. God put you in a broken body. That's a result of sin, right? And so our bodies don't work right. It doesn't mean God's mad at us. You can't blame it on somebody else. It is because our bodies are broken. Everything is broken by sin, every relationship. This isn't heaven, it's earth. And each of those realities means that there are going to be consequences in our life and yours simply because we live on this broken globe. It's not because of what you did, it's not because of what somebody else did, and it's not because of something that God has done. There are consequences in our just to being on this planet that bring about change, all right? And so that can be why you're going to work. And then the last thing is circumstances. Circumstances. Living on a broken planet means that there are going to be things that are going to happen to me and to you simply because I was at the right place at the wrong time. It's a circumstance. It's not my fault. It doesn't mean that God is mad at me. It's simply that I was at this place when this happened. So here's the truth I want you to see. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, those are circumstantial havoc makers that have nothing to do with our behavior. Simply because we're on a broken planet. We're in a thing, in a place where stuff happens. But here's the thing. Regardless of why change comes to me, choices, consequences, or circumstances, I have a promise. How many of you know that you belong to the Lord? Raise your hand, all right? You know what God's given you a promise? Romans 8 and 28, right? For we know that what? All things, circumstances, consequences, choices, all things work together for what? The good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That is the most wonderful verse, the most memorized verse probably in all the word of God. And what God simply says is, I, in every event of your life, because you love me, I am going to work everything that happens to you to your good. And Romans 8:28 means that even if what happens to me happens because of my sin or because of the sin of somebody else, it's not like I have to think, okay, God's plan for me is ruined. You know, I married this woman, I married this man, and they are leaving me, they're divorcing me, and so God's plan for me has been ruined. I can't be what God wants me to be because of the choice I made. And it's not like God's got plan B. God only has one plan for my life. He only has one plan for your life, right? There's no plan B. What does that mean? It means that before I was ever born, before you were ever born, God saw everything. He saw everything. And the Father worked into our life everything that we were going to need to accomplish what he put us here to do. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. There is no plan B. And God says, I will work everything that happens to your good. I will bless you and take care of you if you'll come to me. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Thank you, Father. And then the third thing I want you to see about change is this. All change is a test of our faith. Whenever I face any change, positive, negative, marriage, divorce, birth, death, graduation, flunking, your faith gets tested every time. 1 Peter 1 and 7. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith, as fire tests how genuine gold is. Your faith is much more precious than gold, and by passing the test, it gives praise and glory and honor to God. Here, my father says, John, I want you to understand, trouble is inevitable, but I am God, and I will use all the trouble in your life for good if you will do one thing, if you will bless my name. If you will praise me, I will use everything for your good. You remember Job? The Bible says lost everything in 24 to 48 hours. Everything. He lost wealth. He lost family. He lost his health. And yet he said this. What did he say? The Lord gives. And the Lord what? Takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. What Job said, he said, Father, I am going to trust you, even in this that doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make sense. It's not right. This is wrong on so many levels. And all of us have those things. And we've been met with change. And something new has come. And so God is saying, will you trust me? So let me give you in closing, number two, the principles of trust. What does it mean to trust him? Number one, it means that you look for God. Jeremiah 29:13. If you look for me in earnest, you will find me when you seek me. And the truth in your outline, when change comes, the way through is looking up. Our greatest need in life change is the leadership of God. But in order to get it, I must get him. Oftentimes when change comes, I want a quick fix. It's like, how can I get out of this, right? That's what I mean. How can I get out of this? How can I get through this? How can I change this? Rather than simply saying, Father, I want you. I want you in the midst of this. And so that means, number two, that we ask God for leadership. I look for him and I ask for his leadership. James 1 and 5. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. And he will gladly tell you. He will not resent you asking. See, when I'm in a change that I didn't plan, a change I don't want, a change that I don't like, what God says, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to call to me and say, Father, what do you want me to do? This isn't what I want, but it's come to me. And I know I'm on a broken planet. My body's broken. The bodies of my loved ones, my husband, my wife, my kids, their bodies are broken. I'm in a world of, consequences and circumstances. Father, what are you wanting in this? Because I know you're involved in my life. You're obviously wanting my life to change. So, Father, help me to think the way that you want me to think. My husband's gone. What are you wanting me to do? My wife is gone. My life is no longer what it was. What are you wanting from me? What do you want? My health has taken a turn. I want to pray for healing. But what I want to know is, what do you want? What do you want to do in me? How am I supposed to live life without him, without her? Change is inevitable. But you are God. And you've given me a promise. And that promise is nothing will come into your life because you love me that doesn't, first of all, come through me. And I either permit it or I send it. So what do you want? What do you want? Because I want out, but I don't want to live that way. What do you want me to do? What do you want in this time? And then what do? Number three, you listen for a soft voice. 1 Kings 19:11. Elijah, remember his life was upside down? You remember he heard the Lord in the cave, right? Out in the wilderness. And he learned in that when God speaks, it is a still, small voice. And here's the truth in your outline. In life change, slow down your mind and the RPMs of your life. What does that mean? That means if you want to hear from God in the midst of change and you're saying, Father, what do you want me to do? Now, he's going to answer you. The issue is, will you be able to hear him? And you won't. If you've got the TV and the radio racked up and you've always got to have people around you and you don't ever want to be alone, because if you want to hear from God, you trust me on this, you're going to have to get away from people, you're going to have to turn off everything, you're going to have to get in the Word, and you're going to have to get still and say, Father, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to sit here till I hear you. I'm going to wait on you. And the inside outline, the way through life change isn't asking why, but God, what do you want? And then you listen for that still small voice. Slow down the RPMs of your life. Get in someplace quiet, just like Elijah did. And then number four, humble yourself. In difficult life changes, don't ever forget James 4, verse 6. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When we're in pain, when I'm hurting, when I'm ready to crumble, sometimes the wrong response on our part is we don't want anybody to know that. I don't want anybody to know that I'm weak. I don't want anybody to see me sweat. And so we want to pull into a shell. We want to retreat. As one writer said, we want to pull up the drawbridge of our lives, fill the moat, release the alligators, turn on the electric fence. You know, just put everybody at, get away from me. You know, just cover yourself in thorns. And that is a huge mistake. You know what all that is? You know what all that is? Hey, it's P-R-I-D-E. How are things? Oh, everything's fine. But everything's fine.
Everything's good. I'm good. Nothing's wrong. Liar. Here's the insight. In painful life change, reach for close friends. Humble yourself. You know what humility means? Humility means that you share that need. That's why we promote life groups. Let me tell you something. You don't need 50 friends. You need 2 or 3 good ones. You know who a good friend is? You can tell them anything and they'll keep their trap shut. They won't tell anybody. They don't think less of you because they understand struggle. And they will be there when you need them. Huh? Let me tell you something. You got 50 acquaintances, but you when you are looking for that, it comes down, there's just a handful, if you're lucky. And that's what you want. And that's what God is saying. He's saying, don't be prideful, humble yourself. And what that means? It means quit trying to act like you got it all together and tell somebody what's going on in your life. And then lastly, trust His promises. Philippians 1 and 6, I am sure of this, that God who began this good work in you will carry it on until it is finished. So God didn't bring me here just to leave me. 1 Peter 5 and 7, you can throw the whole weight of your anxiety on Him, for you are His personal concern. The truth in your outline, peace comes in trusting God in the situations we don't understand. And I know you've got that. So here's how we're going to close this morning. I don't know if I put this in your notes, but write down somewhere, Psalm 112, verse 7. The righteous do not fear bad news, nor live in dread of what may happen. For they have settled, listen, they have settled in their mind that God will take care of them. That's in the Living Bible. The righteous do not fear bad news, nor live in dread of what may happen, for they have settled in their mind that God will take care of them. So the invitation is this. Will you this morning say to the Father, Father, I want to trust you. I'm going to trust you in the uncertainties of my life. I want to trust you. I want us to bow our heads. Would you please, heads bowed, eyes closed. This is our invitation from where you are. I want to ask you, nobody's looking around, but I want to ask you, in the challenges of your life,